because we will be turning back and forth to Luke 22 several times throughout our study this morning. As we've been studying in our Sunday morning Bible classes through the book of Acts, we've seen many of the great acts that Peter has done. And as we saw from Acts chapter 2 and his sermon on the day of Pentecost, he preached that first gospel sermon. He converted 3,000 souls to the Lord's church. As we saw in our study this morning in Acts chapter 10, Peter preached the first sermon to the first Gentile convert, Cornelius, there in Acts chapter 10. But what I want us to notice here in Luke chapter 22 is probably the lowest point in Peter's life. That's what we find in verses 54 through 62, a very familiar passage to us. This is where Peter denies the Lord, denies that he even knows Jesus. I want us to read beginning at verse 54. It says there, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man also was with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was also with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the words of the Lord and how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out, and he wept bitterly. I want to focus on one particular phrase that we find here in these few verses, and that is back up in verse 54, where at the end of verse 54 it says, Peter followed at a distance. And I want us to focus on that phrase in our study this morning and hopefully make some application to us as Christians today that we too can be guilty of following Christ at a distance. There are many lessons that we can learn from this statement. We learn that some want to keep one foot in the world yet still stay close to God. And isn't that what Peter was doing? He wanted it to appear as if he was following Jesus. But yet it says that he kept his distance. He kept his distance from Jesus. And we can be guilty of doing that, wanting to keep one foot in the world, yet still appear to others as if we are followers of God and followers of Christ. We also learn that some want to keep God at arm's length in order to fit in with the world. We may be worried about what others may think about us, whether it be at school or at work. And that was Peter's problem. He was worried about what others might think. And we saw there in Luke chapter 22 that he was in the house of the high priest. All the high priest servants around, he was worried about what they might think about him. And as he was following Jesus, he followed at a distance. We too can be guilty of the same thing. Also, we see that some want to appear religious when really they are not. And that's very hypocritical, and we'll touch more on that as we get further into the lesson about some people are hypocritical in their service to God. And that's what Peter was doing. He wanted it once again to appear as if he was following Jesus, but he kept his distance and he wanted to somewhat separate himself from Jesus. I want us to notice over in 2 John 9 that God is with those who are with him. Flip over to 2 John 9. Second John verse 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. But he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So here we see that if we have the doctrine of Christ in us, if we have Christ in us, then we're going to have both the Father and the Son. That is, that if we are not ashamed of Christ, if we are not ashamed to follow closely to Christ, then he's not going to be ashamed of us. And we must not follow Christ at a distance as Peter did. And we're going to focus on that in our lesson this morning. First thing I want us to notice about Peter following at a distance is that Peter did not always follow Christ at a distance. Peter made a great confession earlier in the Gospels of his great faith that he did have in Christ. So let's talk about that confession that Peter made. First of all, in Matthew chapter 16, we see that Jesus and his disciples are at Caesarea Philippi. And the question is raised about who men are saying that Jesus is. And this is the first place in the Gospels where we see that Peter does affirm his faith in Christ and make that great confession. Look into Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." So this does not seem like the same Peter that we will later see in Luke 22 who denies Jesus, because we see this seemingly great faith coming out of Peter as he makes this great confession. We see that Jesus raises the question that, "Who are men saying that I am?" And they answer him there in verse 14, that some say you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elijah, some say that you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets that we read of in the Old Testament. But then Peter, or Jesus, turns the question and specifically asks him, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you think that I am?" And Peter, in all of his boldness, is the first to speak up. There in verse 16, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was probably one of the boldest of the disciples of Jesus, and he was the first to speak up and make that great confession there in verse 16. So this does not seem like the same Peter that will ultimately deny him. But that's not the only confession that Peter made. We also see at the Last Supper with his apostles. Turn over to Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, in verse 29, or let's back up and catch verse 27, really. This is sitting at the Last Supper. Jesus has just instituted the Lord's Supper to them, to his apostles. Beginning at verse 27, Jesus said unto them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Now verse 29, look at the confession that Peter makes. It says, "Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Once again, we see that boldness of Peter. He's the first one to speak up once again. First one to say, "Lord, I will never be made to stumble. I'm not going to be made to stumble," even though Jesus has just said that all of you will be made to stumble because of me. We see the seemingly great faith that Peter had, and that he says, "I will never be made to stumble because of you." Go back to our text in Luke chapter 22. We see another great confession that Peter made at the Last Supper. Luke 22 and verse 33. Once again, this is sitting at that same meal. In verse 33, Peter says, "But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." Once again, what another great confession that Peter has made. He's confessed that Jesus is the Christ, of the one true living God. He said that I will never be made to stumble because of you. And he says here that I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. Once again, this does not at all seem like the same Peter who's later going to deny Jesus. But we also see in John's account, in John chapter 13, another statement that Peter makes. John 13 and verse 37. Jesus has just made a statement in verse 36. He says that Jesus said, "Where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward." Now Peter once again speaks up in all of his boldness in verse 37 and says, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? For I will lay down my life for your sake." So we see those three great confessions that Peter has made here at the Last Supper with Jesus. He tells Jesus that even though Jesus said that all of you will be made to stumble, Peter speaks up and says, "I will never be made to stumble because of you." He confesses that he is ready to go to prison and even to die for Christ, and he will lay down his life for the cause of Christ, as we see here in John chapter 13. Peter seemingly had great faith, and I don't doubt at all that Peter was not lying about these things. I think Peter really thought that he was never going to be made to stumble. I think Peter probably really thought that he was never going, that he would lay down his life for Christ and be willing to die for him. But we know as we go through and get into Luke chapter 22 that Peter's faith wavered and he did fall away from Christ. Even though he had a genuine faith at this time, his faith kind of fell off and he had to be restored once again back to God and back to Christ. Even though he made these great confessions I want us to note that confession is not sufficient for our salvation. We have to do much more than confess, as Peter has done here in these verses. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 21, he says there that not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's not good enough for us to just call upon the name of the Lord and say, Lord, Lord. It wasn't good enough just for Peter to make these great confessions. He had to be obedient, and he had to stand the test of time and stand through the temptations that Satan was going to throw at him. Also in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, once again, Jesus makes the statements, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? So once again, that even though Peter made these great confessions, his faith was seemingly very strong. It was not good enough. Just merely confessing and calling on the name of Lord is not good enough. We have to continue with it and carry out through our obedience of everything that God has commanded us to do. So once again, this does not seem like the same Peter that we later see denying Christ. We see the great faith that Peter had, that he was the first one to speak up at Caesarea Philippi and proclaim that this was the Christ, the Son of the true living God. He's the first one to speak up at the Last Supper and say, Lord, I will never be made to stumble. And he is the first one to say that, Lord, I'm ready to go to prison. I'm ready to die and lay down my life for you. Second thing I want us to notice is that Peter's denial was predicted by Jesus. This was not something that came as a surprise to Jesus. Jesus knew that he was going to do this, and knew that he would deny him three times before the rooster crowed. As we've already seen in Mark chapter 14, Jesus came to his apostles there at the Last Supper and told them that all of you are going to be made to stumble. Even though Jesus probably wasn't very happy about that, he accepted that, and he knew that that's what was going to happen. So this was predicted by Jesus. And if we look in back at where we started in Luke chapter 22, I want to notice three things here in Luke 22 about Jesus predicting his denial. Beginning at verse 31, it says there, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. So he first come out and tells Peter that Satan has asked for you. And he describes that temptation that Satan is going to give him as the sifting of wheat, as they would sift wheat. Next thing we see there is in verse 32. We see that Jesus prayed for Peter. He says, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. What an honor it would be for the Lord to tell us that he has prayed specifically for us. And what an honor that should have been for Peter, and that Jesus set time aside. He specifically prayed a prayer that was specifically for Peter, that his faith should not fail, because he knew that he was going to deny him. And what a great honor that should have been to Peter, that Jesus specifically says that I have prayed for you. I've prayed a specific prayer for you. But we also see in verse 34, as Jesus predicts this denial, he says, I tell you, Peter, that the rooster shall not crow this day before you shall deny me. This, you deny three times that you even know me. So we see this prophesied and predicted by Jesus, that Jesus knew that this was going to happen and this was going to take place. Third thing I want us to notice is that Peter had a choice to make. And Peter could not serve God and Satan. And we know passages in the Gospels that tells us we cannot serve both God and mammon. And we cannot have it both ways. And that's the way Peter wanted it to be. But Peter had two choices. He had to choose Christ or Satan. Peter wanted to follow Christ. That's why he chose to follow him. But he chose to go at a distance. He wanted to separate himself a little bit, because he feared men, and therefore he chose Satan. Peter wanted to have it both ways. He wanted to be able to please God and please men at the same time. And we just can't do that, and you can't have that. So the solution to Peter's problem was that he chose to follow Christ, but he chose to follow him at a distance. And now oftentimes we do that in our own service to the Lord. We want it to appear to others as if we are following Christ when we are not. And we are following him at a distance. I want to suggest that half-hearted service or partial service is no service at all. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 22. Jesus, here in Matthew 22, is speaking to the Pharisees. And here we see that we should give our all to God. Once again, that half-hearted service, our partial service, is no service at all. We have to give God our 100%. We can't give God 80% and give Satan 20%. Or God 75% and Satan 25%. It just doesn't work that way. You have to give 100% to God. And that's what we see here. Jesus is teaching the Pharisees in Matthew 22 and in verse 37. He says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." Notice that word "all" there in those three times that word "all" is mentioned there in verse 37. Jesus did not say serve the Lord your God with some of your heart, with some of your soul, and with some of your mind. He says with all. Serve Him with all your heart, all your soul, and with all your mind. That half-hearted or partial service is no service at all. Look in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, we see what we all know as the Christian virtues that are listed there in verses 5 through 7. 2 Peter 1, beginning at verse 5, it says, "But also for this reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love." You notice what's at the very beginning of that list? Peter there says, giving all diligence. Giving it your all. It's not half-hearted service. Half-hearted or partial service is no service at all. We are to give all diligence as we live the Christian life. Also, some want to appear religious even though they are not. And perhaps that's what Peter was trying to do, and that's what Peter was guilty of. He wanted it to appear as if he was following Christ, but he wanted to kind of step back and separate himself from Christ at the same time. And he wanted to please the men, please the servants of the high priest, because he feared them. Perhaps he might be put to death as well. So his solution to the problem was to follow at a distance. Turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Jesus talks about the hypocrites who pray and they want to appear as if they are religious when really they are not. This is just before Jesus teaches his disciples how to pray, and we see the model prayer beginning down there in verse 9. But in verse 5 it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly I say to you, they have their reward." These people wanted to appear religious. They wanted to go in the synagogues, go out on the street corners, raise their hands up in the air, offer their prayers to God so they could be seen by men. And they didn't have the true religious heart that they wanted people to think that they had. And Jesus rebukes them there in verse 5 and calls them hypocrites. Don't be like the hypocrite when you offer your prayers. Peter was playing the part of a hypocrite as well, as he was following Christ, but he was following him at a distance. He wanted it to appear as if he's following Christ, but yet at the same time he's wanting to separate himself from Christ. So Peter had a choice to make, and we know what Peter's decision was, but I want to go further into looking at Peter's decision and what led to Peter's decision and him making that decision. We already saw there in Luke 22 and verse 54 that his decision was that he was going to follow at a distance. Peter thought that this was a solution to the problem, that I can follow and I'm still following Christ, but if I keep my distance, people maybe, you know, I won't be oppressed by the multitudes and the crowds who are around. So he makes that decision that he's going to follow at a distance. I also want to suggest that how far we follow is not measured by distance, but it is measured by our attitude. If we have the wrong attitude, perhaps towards coming to church, do we complain and grumble about having to get up on a Sunday morning and come to church services? Do we complain and grumble about having to do some task while we're at church? Do we only come to church and worship because perhaps we feel obligated to, we feel like we have to? If so, we are serving God with the wrong attitude, and if we are doing that, we are following Him at a distance. We're showing up here at church, making it look like we're following Christ, but perhaps in our private lives, really, we are not. If we're doing that, we are following Christ at a distance and being guilty of the very same things that Peter was. So how far we follow is not measured by distance, but it is measured by our attitude. Here's some things that led to Peter's making that decision, and that is that he lost the zeal of his confession. Where is that great confession that we just read about in Matthew chapter 16? There when Peter was very bold and was the first to speak up and say that you are the Christ, you are the Son of the living God. Everyone else thinks you're John the Baptist. They think you're Elijah or Jeremiah. But Peter was bold. He spoke up and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Where is that confession now? Peter has lost that zeal of his confession. Where is that vow of loyalty that Peter promised to have towards Christ? We already saw in John 13 and verse 37 where Peter said that I'm going to lay down my life for you. I'll lay down my life for the cause of Christ. Where is that vow of loyalty now? He has lost that zeal of his original confession that he has made. This is where we see Peter's faith begin to fall off now. His faith was strong, and Peter really genuinely thought that he was going to do those things, but he has lost that zeal of his confession. Some other things that led Peter to making this decision was that he joined himself with the wrong crowd. Turn back to our passage, Luke chapter 22. I want to notice once again there in verses 54 and 55 that Peter did not try to stay close to Jesus. He did not try to stay close to the other disciples, our followers of Jesus, but he tried to blend in with those who were enemies of Jesus. Once again, verse 54, having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. That little phrase there at the end of verse 55, Peter sat among them. Peter wanted to blend in with these people. This is the high priest and those servants in his household. These are the ones who put Jesus to death. They're enemies of Christ. Yet Peter sat down with them next to the fire, and he sat down among them, hoping that he might blend in among them. So he joined himself and associated himself with an enemy of Christ. And that's something that we need to be careful of as well. We are easily influenced by those whom we are around, those whom we are with, whether it be at school or at work or wherever we may be out in the world. They're wicked people. And if we choose to dwell with them and spend time around them, we're easily going to be influenced. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. And that's written in the context talking about false teachers. But still, the application can be made of us when we go out into the world and we want to be amongst those wicked people, that we are easily influenced by those. And that's exactly what happened to Peter. He went down and he sat among them around the fire and wanted to blend in with them. Also, as a result of Peter's decision to follow at a distance, we see that he ultimately lies, he swears, and he curses. Mark chapter 14, in verse 71. After they have just accused him again of being a companion of Christ, at the end of verse 70, Peter's reaction in verse 71 says that he began to curse and he began to swear that I do not know this man of whom you speak. So we see that one sin often leads to another, and that Peter began with lying. He began with denying that he even knew Christ or was a partaker or was a follower of Christ. And that led to another sin. As they began to push him further and further on it, his patience began to grow very thin, and he began to swear. And upon doing that, it says there in verse 71 that he began to curse as well. So that sin often led to another sin. And that's the way it is with us as well. We oftentimes commit a sin. Perhaps we may tell a lie to try to cover up that sin. We become more desensitized to that, and we commit another sin and just try to cover it up with lies. So one sin often leads to another. And we see that Paul warned Timothy about this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 13. Paul tells Timothy there, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And we learn there from that verse that one sin often leads to another. The evil men will grow worse and worse. That you commit one sin, you become more desensitized. You commit another sin. You try to tell a lie, try to cover up your sins, and you just get further and further into sin. We also see in Psalm 1, we see the progression of sin as the psalmist lays out in Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. And we see there that people once again become desensitized to sin. We see the progression of sin there in verse 1. That first off, they start off by walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And that's the first step. Second step is that you stand in the path of sinners. And once you get desensitized to that, you go on to the third step. The third step that is listed is that you sit in the seat of the scornful. So you see the natural progression of sin there in Psalm 1 and verse 1. And that one sin often leads to another, as Paul warned Timothy, that evil men will grow worse and worse as they try to cover up their sins. So we see Peter's decision there, and that he chose to follow at a distance, and the reason that he did was because he had lost that zeal of that great confession that he had made, and he joined himself with the wrong crowd and tried to cover up his sins. Fifth and final thing that I want us to notice is that of Peter's redemption. We've seen thus far some great changes in Peter's life, and that he started out making great confessions. He started out where his faith was very, very strong. His faith kind of wavered as he denied Jesus, and now we're going to see in his redemption that his faith is going to come back up, and he's going to be restored back to Jesus. Once again, look back in our passage in Luke chapter 22. We see that Jesus knew that Peter was going to return to him. It's not something that Jesus questioned whether or not he would. Jesus knew that he would. Because we see that here in Luke 22 and verse 32, when Jesus said that I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Notice when Jesus tells Peter that he prayed for him, he doesn't say, if you return to me, you can strengthen your brethren. He says, when you return to me, you're going to strengthen your brethren. Jesus knew that Peter was going to return. He says, when you return to me. We know that Peter was very sorrowful for what he had done. Immediately after he denied the Lord three times and the rooster crowed, we're told there in verse 61 and 62 that Peter remembered the things that Jesus had said about how he would deny him before the rooster crows. And verse 62 says, so Peter went out and he wept bitterly. It doesn't just say that Peter went out and he cried. It says he went out and he wept bitterly. He was extremely sorrowful for what he had done. He was extremely remorseful for the things that he had done, and he realized the sin that he had committed. It's not that many of us today try to cover up our sins, try to make excuses for the things that we've done. Peter didn't make those excuses. He realized immediately that he had done wrong, and he went out and he wept bitterly and was sorrowful for what he had done. We know that Peter later returns back to the Lord because he ran eagerly to meet the Lord at the empty tomb. Look at John chapter 20. In John 20, verses 3 and 4, it says, Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. So we see that here, as Peter realizes that Jesus has been raised from the dead, and they've heard about the stone at the door of the tomb being rolled open, Peter runs. Him and the other disciple here, as we see in verses 3 and 4, he does not walk casually. He does not take his time on getting to the empty tomb. Peter runs. He's very eager to be there and be associated with Christ once again. Remember, he had been separated from Christ when he denied him, and now he wants to be joined back to Christ. He runs eagerly back to the empty tomb. We also know in 1 Peter chapter 5 that Peter would later serve as an elder in the church and play a very important role in the Lord's church. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 1 says there, the elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and the witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Peter there calls himself a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. So even though we are not specifically told of an occasion where Peter repented of his sins and prayed for forgiveness, we know that he did because Jesus said that he was going to return to him, and we know that he later served as an elder in the Lord's church. Also, I don't have these on the screen before you, but just a couple of things. As we've noticed in our Sunday morning Bible classes through the book of Acts, many other great works that Peter has done. Preaching the sermon on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, that he did a great work in converting those 3,000 souls there in Acts chapter 2. Also, what we saw in our Bible classes this morning, Acts chapter 10, preached the first sermon to the Gentiles and the conversion of Cornelius there in Acts 10. So Peter was redeemed. As I said earlier, there are many highs and lows in Peter's life, that his faith is very strong, it fell off, and now his faith is very strong once again. As he returns back to the Lord, he serves as an elder and does the work in preaching and teaching the gospel and converting thousands of people to the Lord's church. Many lessons can be learned from that phrase there in Luke 22 and verse 54. Peter followed at a distance. And if we are not careful, we too can be guilty of following Christ, but following him at a distance. And we need to be ever aware and mindful of the mistakes that Peter has made and perhaps try to learn from Peter's mistakes. And if we have made those mistakes, we need to return to the Lord just as Peter returned back to the Lord. There may be those here this morning who have been guilty of perhaps following Christ at a distance, and you need to be redeemed back to him just as Peter was. Perhaps there may be those in the audience who have not named Christ, not put him on in baptism, and you realize the sinful condition that you're living in and need to make your life right as well. Whatever